Let us pray. Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes that we may see the Christ in each other and so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our ears, O God, that we may hear your word, and that word would influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace, and that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. July for us is Leadership Month. And so we have been reflecting on the lives of various leaders in the Bible. Last Sunday, we reflected on the theme, Abraham, a leader with faith. Today, Moses, the great leader facing a personal challenge. Moses, a Hebrew, grew up in the house of Pharaoh, and he was called by God to carry out a tremendous, difficult task. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, God said to Moses, "The cry of the Israelites has come to me. I have seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And God promised to go with him. But not only that, God equipped Moses with the tools for leadership. A leader must have authority. So in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I tell them?" And God said to him, "I am who I am. Say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent you.'" And God understood that Moses also needed power in order to exercise this authority that he was given. And so in chapter 4, God says to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And he had a staff in his hand. And God said to him, "Throw it on the ground." And he threw it on the ground and it turned into a snake. He held it and it turned back into a staff. And then God said to him, "Put your hand inside of your coat." And so he put his hand inside, and when he took it out, it was leprous. And then he put it back in and took it out again, and it was clean. And God said, "If those two things do not work, then take some water from the Nile and throw it on the ground, and it will turn to blood." After that, Moses complained that he was slow of speech and slow of tongue. It is said that he had a stammer. And so God told Moses to take his brother Aaron with him. And God said, I will speak to you, and you will speak to him. I will be your mouth, and his mouth will be yours, and I will teach you what you shall do. So Moses had authority, he had power, and he also had the ability to communicate his message to Pharaoh. So Moses goes and does what the Lord commands. And as we follow the story in the book of Exodus, 10 plagues later, including the death of the firstborn in every Egyptian household, Pharaoh relented and let the people of God go free. And so they were able to leave Egypt and worship God on the holy mountain. God renewed the covenant with Moses and the people of Israel. God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses the instructions to build the Ark of the Covenant, to build the tabernacle. God gave Moses the regulations for the priests and the occasions on which the people were called to worship. Indeed, under Moses, the children of Israel were on their way to becoming a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people set apart for God. But as so often happened in the Old Testament, the people were disobedient. And so instead of taking a journey that should have lasted about 2 weeks to the promised land, they wandered about the desert for 40 years. And Moses had the task of leading these ex-slaves through what could only be described as very severe human conditions for 40 years. Even though he did his task well, Moses did not have the privilege of entering into the land of promise. He was allowed to see it, but he was not allowed to enter. So why was Moses not allowed by God, after doing this fantastic job of leadership, to enter into the land of promise? It was because Moses, from his youth, had a personal challenge which he was never able to overcome. And what was this challenge that Moses had? His anger, or as we would say, his bad temper. And it started to demonstrate itself all the way back to his youth. For when Moses realized that he was Hebrew by birth, he tried to identify with his people who were slaves in Egypt. He grew up in the house of Pharaoh, but he tried to identify with the slaves. So one day when he saw an Egyptian beating a slave, Moses intervened. The writer of the book of Exodus said he looked all around and then he killed the Egyptian. The next day, he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting with each other. And so he stopped them and asked them, you know, why are you fighting one another? And one said to him, "Who made you ruler over us? Are you going to kill us as you killed the Egyptian?" And so Moses realized that his secret was no longer a secret. And so when Pharaoh heard that he had killed an Egyptian, he had to flee from Egypt and settle in the land of Midian. Because he was not able to control his anger, he had to flee from Egypt. And Moses, therefore, had a lot of time while he was in the land of Midian to deal with this challenge that he had. But obviously, he didn't. Another time when he was leading the people at the holy mountain, he went up to talk to God. The writer of the book of Exodus says, Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. And while he was on the holy mountain, God gave him two tablets of stone with the covenant written on these stone tablets by the finger of God. This was to guide the people of Israel so that they could be truly God's people. All of this took a very long time, so Moses was away for a long time from the people. And his brother Aaron stirred up the people and encouraged them to make a golden calf and worship it as the God who brought them out of Egypt. As soon as Moses came near to the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, the writer of the book of Exodus in chapter 32, verses 19 and 20, puts it this way. Moses' anger burned hot. He threw the tablets from his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made, burnt it with fire, ground it into a powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. Obviously, Moses was out of control. God did not need Moses to respond on his behalf. But he didn't stop there. He asked, "Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me." And all the sons of Aaron of Levi gathered around him. He made them put on their swords in the Lord's name, ordered them to go back and forth from gate to gate throughout the camp. And each of you, he says, kill your brother, your friend, and your neighbor. They killed about 3,000 people that day. Exodus 32, verses 26 to 29. Moses killed had killed, because of his anger, 3,000 people in one day. Because of that, because he allowed his personal challenge to overcome him, because he never got control of his anger, he was not allowed by God to enter the promised land. And we need to understand that when we do not strive to conquer that physical challenge or personal challenge that we have, there are always consequences. Moses had to go back up to the mountain and ask for forgiveness. And he had to go and cut 2 new tablets of stone so that God could rewrite the covenant on them. And he was not allowed to enter the promised land. He could see it, but not enter it. So that when Moses was 120 years old, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, we are reminded that he admitted to the people that the Lord told him, "You shall not cross the Jordan to the land of promise." So God, in love, took Moses up the mountain of Nebo, and the Lord showed him the whole land and said to him, "That is the land that I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Moses, the great servant of God, the great leader of God's people, died in the land of Moab at the age of 120. During his life, even though he accomplished that great feat of liberating the children of Israel, of leading them to the desert, he never took the time to deal with his weakness, that flaw in his character, his anger. And therefore, in that moment of stress, it came out to the fore. And there is a very important lesson for all of us in this. Because we are called to be leaders in our homes, in the workplace, in the community, in the church. And we must understand that none of us is perfect. All of us have some flaw in our character that we need to identify as we reflect on who we are and what we do and the way we do things. And when we identify that weakness, we must ensure that we do something about it. There are, of course, professionals who can help us, but we also know that we can rely on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome whatever that personal challenge is. Because in our own time, we know that there were outstanding leaders whose time in office have been blemished because they failed to deal with their personal challenge. We can remember, some of us, that there were at least 2 American presidents who had a weakness for the opposite sex, and it marred their time in office. So far, of course, we have not heard about any personal challenge of President Obama. But we know, if you followed his story, that when he decided to enter the race for president, he decided to give up smoking because that was his vice. In our own recent past, we have had Dr. Eric Williams, who was well known for his arrogance. When I say go, you go. When I speak, not a damn dog barks. We have had Patrick Manning, who, because of his desire to be needed or wanted by the people, called 2 early elections which he lost. And of course, we have heard the stories of the personal challenge that the first female prime minister of Trinidad and Tobago faced. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is my weakness? What is the challenge that I face, the flaw in my personality that I have to deal with so that I could follow the example of Jesus, the servant leader? So I could be a faithful example and leader of God's children, of God's people. And we have to understand that whatever that personal challenge is, God is able to help us to deal with it. And so we have to invoke, of course, we have to first identify it, and admit that it is a problem. And we have to invoke the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to deal with that personal challenge. Because God is calling us to be wholesome examples, particularly to the next generation. And we cannot approach them and say, do as I say, but not as I do. Young people are imitators. So if you allow your personal challenge to come to the fore, that is what they will see. And human nature is such that they will disregard all the good things that you do and copy that one. And so we have to be honest with ourselves, because we cannot fool God. We are not perfect. We are not angels. But God is able to help us to truly follow Christ if we would only acknowledge our weaknesses and ask God to help us to overcome them. The Lord be with you.